Here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in one more time to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. And we are so excited. We're going to spend the next half hour together talking about the Word of God, talking about everybody's favorite subject, and that is forgiving other people. Yeah, I hear the excitement in your voice, but it is so very important because the standard of forgiveness that we extend is the standard of forgiveness that God will use on our behalf. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. It's as we continue this study. You know, we didn't talk much about lead us not into temptation. But today we're going to be talking about forgive. And in Matthew chapter 6, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, we didn't talk about the leadership part yet. We talked about give us this day our daily bread. We talk about, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And in verse number 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it's very important that we get this right. I do want to remind you, this coming Sunday, 10:30 of the morning, 6:30 of an evening, Reverend Mark Perkey is going to be with us, preaching the Word of God. He's a full-time evangelist, travels the country, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're looking forward to what he has for us this coming week at Merit Assembly of God. I encourage you to come and be blessed by what God is going to do. I'm looking forward to receiving. My holiday season was a really busy holiday season. I flew out on Christmas Day to go to Fiji. We did see a lot of positive impact. The people who ran the conference that we preached in, after the conference was over, they said that their best guess, even though they didn't have paperwork on it, was that approximately 200 people gave Jesus their hearts and their lives during that conference at the end of 2018. And so that was very, very exciting. A pastor told us that this was on Sunday. We preached on Saturday. We preached on Sunday. And a pastor told us on Sunday that his son had given his heart to the Lord. And what an exciting and thrilling concept. I don't know how old his son was. There was between 900 and 1,200 people. There were 900 pre-registered. I don't know how many ended up being at the conference. They didn't give us that final number. Those were the numbers that they guessed, that there would be somewhere between 900 and 1,200 people. And the altar times were just really, really wonderful as young people were pressing in to experience all that God has in store for them. And so we flew out on Christmas Day. We flew back on New Year's Day. I discovered what jet lag does to you. In fact, even now after a week, I still haven't. Actually, I think it's a little over a week. My sleep patterns are still not back to normal. On the way there, I adjusted to travel time that way very quickly. I went to bed one night, woke up the next morning, and bam, I was on local time. But the trip back was an entirely different scenario. So I said all that to say I'm looking forward to what God has for me this week. We came back, had a situation that we dealt with personally. When we got back home, as far as physical needs go, I was there to be a support personnel at that point in time. So we've dealt with that, went into preaching and into the radio program this week. And so I'm ready to receive what God has for us. So do also want to remind you, if you'd like for us to be praying for you, that you would be able to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God in 2019, contact us via email. You could leave a voicemail. You can mail us an envelope. The contact information is at the end of the program. You can reach out to us, and we're going to put together a little mini spreadsheet, like a postcard size, that people can have that, and that people will be laboring fervently in prayer, that we as a body of believers will be able to stand mature, perfect, and completely equipped for the assignment that God has for us in 2019. If you'd like to be a part of that, contact us and let us know. We would love to add you to that list. Like on yesterday's program, I talked about the area that you want to grow in 2019 and the area of your greatest need. With that being said, we're going back to the Gospel of Matthew today. And verse number 18 is where we're going, or not verse, but chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18. And we're talking about forgiveness. I want you to know that I am a person who needs forgiveness. I'm not a perfect individual, and by that I mean a person without flaws. I try and do really well and treat other people really well, but on that trip back from Fiji, there was some fatigue that set in, and there was some serious sleep deprivation that was going on, and some frustration set in. And while I didn't do anything that was really horrible, my attitude towards some people who I was waiting to give me my food, my attitude wasn't everything that it should have been. And so I realized that I'm a person that still needs forgiveness. I don't think you and I are ever going to reach the stage in life where we don't need forgiveness. I remember when I was managing a shoe store, I asked a man, I said, so are you behaving yourself today? It was just a non-traditional greeting. And he said, I'm 92. I can't do anything but behave myself. And I want you to know, age has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the condition of your heart. The reason that I know that is the next day I was listening to a news broadcast where a person who was 92 had actually shot and killed somebody. And it's like, I think 92-year-olds are still capable of sin. And so preachers, if we're not careful, we're capable of sin. There is no age exclusion. We need Jesus. We need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and we need to practice the forgiveness of Christ, which brings us to our passage today in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So let's just start off with this reality. Peter was actually extending what he thought to be a pretty generous offer. He said, how many times do I have to forgive my brother if he sins against me? Seven times. And I want you to know that that's a lot of forgiveness. For some people, you mess up once and bam, you're gone. Other people are a little more gracious and they'll give you two chances. Some people will give you three strikes and then you're out. And Peter thought that he was going exceptionally high by offering seven times. And Jesus said, you miss the point of forgiveness. It is not keeping a record of how many times that you have forgiven. It is supposed to be, no matter how great the debt, that when a person asks for forgiveness, that they will receive that. That is made possible because of the price that Jesus has paid for you and I. It is because of the riches of God that we are able to forgive in the first place. We'll talk about that some at a later time. We are forgiven for the name sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're representing him. So let's look at this passage and see what we can glean about this concept of forgiveness and the lack of forgiveness. And the first thing that I want to point out to you is that when the servant who was forgiven didn't forgive another person who owed a much lesser debt, the master referred to him as a wicked servant. Unforgiveness is not correlated in the scripture with godliness. It is described as being done by a person who is captivated with wickedness. And that's not a good thing. That's not something that we are looking for. I want you to know that you could be a person like Ahab in the scripture. Ahab was a king. Many of you might only think of Ahab from Moby Dick, but Ahab was a very wicked king in Israel, and he was confronted a number of times by the prophet Elijah. And during one of those confrontations, there was a proclamation that was made against Ahab and against his house. And Ahab repented to such a great extent that God said to Elijah, have you noticed how Ahab has changed his heart towards me? Now, I want you to understand that every word that was spoken against the house of Ahab came true, but it was because Ahab did not maintain the attitude of a forgiven individual, even though he had committed grievous sins. Manasseh was a wicked king. He was the son of Hezekiah, and there was a lot of wickedness that was done, but he came to a place of repentance and was granted forgiveness as well. I want you to see, you can be a person of great wickedness and still have God forgive you, but it involves a lot of things. The second thing I want to tell you is unforgiveness is not only wickedness, but unforgiveness will be observable by other people around you. I don't know if you want to dare to do this or not, but if you've got some godly people around you that you trust and that will be honest with you, you may ask them, would you describe me as a forgiving person, or would you describe me as an unforgiving person? Because the characteristics of forgiveness or unforgiveness will be observable by other people. It said that when this person did not forgive, that the other servants noticed how unforgiving he was, even though they knew the forgiveness that had been extended to him. So we as Christians, we can't afford to be unforgiving. The message of the cross, the message of the kingdom, it's far too important for our message to be sacrificed because other people notice that we're not living out the message of forgiveness that we are proclaiming. So it is an observable characteristic. It is something that is a wicked servant would do, not what a godly servant would do. The third point that I want to share with you today is that our forgiveness experience should impact our character. When the wicked servant was being confronted by the master with his attitude of unforgiveness, in verse number 33, it says, "Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant?" So where unforgiveness flows from a wicked person, forgiveness flows from a compassionate individual, a person who has much gratitude and appreciation for the forgiveness that has been bestowed upon him. Let me take you back just a minute to Peter's original question. It was, you know, how many times should I forgive? Jesus said 70 times 7. There are some commentators that believe that that means that every day that amount of forgiveness needed to be bestowed upon an individual. And I will tell you this, that there may be a lot of things that people have done wrong to you, and the Holy Spirit, when they've asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins and be the Lord of their life, he may start dealing with a whole lot of issues that they have had in their life. And so they may be coming up for things that they said, covenants that they broke, times that they disappointed you, lies that they told about you, strife and discord that they sowed into your life. And there may be a lot of times that they will come and say, "Will you forgive me?" Now, I want to encourage you to not do what I did one time, and that is say, you know, when a person came up and said, "You know, I need to ask you to forgive me for this," and I've said the same thing and been told this, and the response that we tend to have is, "Oh, brother, it's not a big deal." I want you to know it is a big deal. If there is something that the Holy Spirit is dealing with in a person's life, and he says, "I need you to stop what you're doing and go and ask that person to forgive you," that is a big deal. And so I literally had to grow to the place where if somebody was coming and they said something to me along these lines, "Brother, would you forgive me?" I would say, "You know what? I do forgive you. I do forgive you. It's not that it was such a big deal to me. It is that is a big deal to God, and it is a tremendous sign of maturity that is going on in that person's life, that they're listening to the Holy Spirit, they're responding to his prompt, and they want to go forward forgiven and reconciled with their brother." So I want to encourage you, if God is dealing with you and saying, "You know what, I need to go and ask this person to forgive me," do it. Do it. It's going to be very important. A person told me recently that they had seen forgiveness demonstrated in a person's life, and because of the forgiveness that they were willing to walk in, someone else was actually tangibly blessed because they refused, this other person, this middleman, refused to walk in unforgiveness. And as a result of their forgiving nature, they were able to be a bridge between two strangers, and a person was tangibly blessed because of it. Praise the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're representing the King. And if the King is willing to grant forgiveness, then we also need to allow our experience with forgiveness to impact our character, where we operate out of an overflow of compassion, where our character has been changed. The other aspect that we could talk about is that this compassion understands the reality that we are fellow servants. Out of all of the people on the earth that we should be willing to forgive, it is other brothers and sisters in Christ. And I will tell you that we need to be willing to forgive them. Now, I don't think that this concept of forgiveness is quite as cavalier as many people think. Well, I'm just going to put this in a simple way. Brother, would you forgive me for punching you in the face? Sure, I will forgive you. 5 minutes later, the person punches you in the face again. Brother, would you forgive me of punching you in the... I don't think that's the concept that is being talked about here. I've told this story before. It is an absolutely true story. And then I will tell you somebody's take on it. And that was, I was standing outside one night. This goes back many, many years ago. A person that's very dear and near to my heart. We're standing there. We're having a conversation. The sun is going down. Darkness is coming. And when that happens in Florida, a lot of times mosquitoes come out. And unbeknownst to me, a mosquito had landed on my left cheek. And we're having a conversation. It's not a heated conversation. It's not intense fellowship. And all of a sudden, this person just reaches up and smacks me on the left cheek. No explanation, just reaches up and pow. And all of a sudden, this look comes over his face. I just slapped my pastor. All he does is he holds up his hand and he points with his finger to the mosquito carcass that is now residing on his hand. And I said, brother, you need to understand, I trust you. And if you slap me in the face, the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so I'm not going to be inclined to be angry with you. I'm going to understand I need to be slapped in the face for a reason. And so when I told that story one night, and a person took their pen and they drew just kind of a little mini plus sign in their hand. And they came up after service and they slapped me in the face and just held up their hand. And I said, you know, I can tell the difference between a real, genuine mosquito carcass and someone's pen markings. Now, they didn't hit me hard. They were just messing with me. But I forgive them of that. You know, it's something that you've got to be birthed in the reality that we are serving God together. And I will tell you, if you have never been hurt in church by another believer, you have lived a blessed life. I have received wounds in the body of Christ, and I've probably dispensed a few wounds in the body of Christ. It's not that I'm mean, but please, if you've been wounded in church, do not live with an unforgiving attitude. We'll talk about that a little bit later, because it will just make you a perpetual victim. many times the people who have wounded and injured others are completely ignorant, unaware that they have caused any pain in the first place. I can't tell you how many times people have come up and said, hey, I just wanted to let you know this and this and this was going on, and I was completely unaware of the struggle that they were dealing with in their life because of something that had been said, something they didn't understand, or something that had happened either because of me or because of someone else. So one of the reasons that we are able to walk in this forgiveness is we realize that we're all part of the same family. And if we're going to expect mercy to be manifest in our life, we can't be operating by a different standard with someone else's life. So the master said, you should have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had had pity on you. In the same proportions that I forgave you, which was complete and total elimination of the debt, you should have been willing to do that. Jesus says in verse number 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So not only servants, we're brothers. We're not in a sibling rivalry. And there's a little nugget right here in this last verse that says forgiveness is something that comes from the heart. So you can make an intentional choice to forgive. And forgive and forgive and forgive. Forgive it from your heart. Even if your mind is struggling with some areas, you know what? Allow your innermost being to have an attitude of forgiveness and live that way to such an extent that eventually your head's going to finally begin to operate the way that the heart operates. You know how you can tell? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you forgive from the heart, your speech is going to reflect it. If you forgive from the heart, other people are going to notice it. Let's pay attention. Let's make sure that people know that we're not only forgiven, we're forgiving. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.